answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
I spoke in the fall about the iceberg I saw ahead. Something's fraud that's much larger than what's been visible to the public. When I said that, it wasn't hyperbole or rhetoric, it was a warning. And today I want to talk and I want to show here a sense of what that iceberg looks like, because I think people deserve to know what that is and how big this problem is, because we can't solve the problem until we grapple with the size of it. So the Center for Medicare and Medicaid Services pulled the claims data for these 14 programs dating back to 2018. And those 14 programs in Minnesota have cost $18 billion since 2018 and more than $3.5 billion in 2024 alone.
That is the Deputy Assistant U.S. Attorney Joe Thompson saying, we have just seen the tip of the iceberg when we were claiming the other day, and rightly so, $1 billion in fraud inside the Somali community in Minnesota. And we were told then that it's even bigger. Now, he just laid numbers out, $3-plus billion, scamming all the way, preying upon American citizens and taxpayers. And they didn't care, because their whole idea was to have a criminal enterprise, and they did it. First and over again. We'll break down some of that for you. Welcome to hour number two, Larry Connors, USA. Here we are, December 19, 2025. And reminding you, with Larry Connors, USA, you get news, analysis, opinion, and education. When we finish this hour, you'll have more knowledge than you do right now. And you'll also have some fun. I've got a guest coming up later. We want to talk poker. He's a villain to me, Kenny Bad Hat Peel. Also, a music artist. He has a history in music, been recording some more. So we're going to get to that and have a little lighter conversation. I think you'll enjoy that coming up later. But I also need to put in front of you, there are a lot of things still going on with this grifting, I should say, with the Somalias and also with the NGOs, non-government organizations, which have been weaponized to steal from the American public, the American taxpayer. And you should know this. Kash Patel announced today a Chinese researcher here on a U.S. visa charged with smuggling E. coli into our country. Smuggled it in, made excuses as to why he had it and what it was. He was granted permission to come to our country and study. And he was looking for an opportunity to what? Cause a mass explosion of E. coli in our population. No one knows for sure, but it was biological materials hidden in a package originating from China. We cannot let these people in anymore. We just have to say, I'm sorry, you might really be a Chinese resident that you want to come here and really learn and expand your horizons and mean no harm to us. But you've got bad actors that have come in, and we all know that every one of you has to report to the communist Chinese. We just have to put a stop to it. It's done. Already, Kristi Noem, head of Director of Homeland Security, because of this Portuguese national accused of killing the Brown College students and then the MIT professor, was here originally on a visa program and learning program. She said, we're going to start yanking those. He got in basically on the lottery too, so they're going to yank those. The lottery takes place every year where an X number of people will be allowed in and they put their names in and hope they get picked. They're going to put it in there and they're going to start vetting it better, which we should have been doing. I'll get into that in more detail with you later. I do want to take a moment to remind you, our Feed My People program is still underway. We're collecting non-perishable goods, helping with the St. Louis County Republicans. And several of our sponsors have collection buckets outside their locations where you could drop off non-perishable goods. Please go to News Talk STL, our Facebook, and see where you can go to drop off those goods to help feed those most in need. And also while you're there, check on registering for a stocking gift for you or someone you want to give it to. We have several of our sponsors offering credit cards, offering basic free cards and so forth. Not just one or two, multiples. And then we have the grand prize of a $500 gift prize from Newsteaders Jewelers. You can't win if you don't register. It's simple as that. And you can register as many times as you want. So I encourage you to do that. Go to NewstalkSTL.com or NewstalkSTL Facebook and get all the details. Stephen Miller of the White House says, this Somalia gripped. These folks came in and they began a systematic fraud of our taxpayers.
The Somali community has been engaged in massive, endemic, systematic fraud against the American taxpayer for years. We're going to discover, ultimately, and we are in the throes right now of a full-throated, all-hands-on-deck federal investigation, is that the scope, scale, size, and sheer magnitude of the fraud eclipses anybody's worst nightmare.
Yeah, I mean, staggering numbers, as you were hearing from the assistant U.S. attorney a moment ago. And when you look at the members of the Somalia community inside Minnesota, a lot of them settled there. And that's understandable. We have in the St. Louis area a Bosnian community. They came and seeking asylum. They set up here. We had provisions to help provide for them, and more of them came. They have a like culture, a like language. That's understandable. But the Somalians were coming in to look to cause chaos and ripping off the American taxpayer. It's a hard decision, and you hate to make it based on someone else's actions, but you have to make a decision that this particular group, we're not going to allow in anymore. That means many that really need help, desperately, will not be allowed into our country because of the bad actors from their nation. And if the Somalia community had risen up and said, we have people in our community causing this fraud, if they had pointed it out themselves, maybe there'd be a little bit more understanding. But right now, we're seeing more and more actions to defraud the American taxpayer. And we heard Stephen Miller say 90% of the Somalia community in Minnesota has been engaged at one point or another and currently engaged in stealing from the American taxpayer.
According to official government records, 90% of Somali households with children are on federal welfare. The real number is probably 100% because federal records always undercount. So you're talking about a population that has been imported into Minnesota, in which virtually every single member of that population is receiving welfare from the federal government. This could very well end up being the greatest financial fraud scandal in American history.
And created by foreigners allowed into our country. We've already had generational welfare fraud in some of our U.S. citizens. They were raised, put your hand out and get something and suck from the teat of the government. And they made that's just the way our life is. The only way you break that generational fraud is to make sure they're performing, doing jobs and doing something in return for what they're getting free. But when we're going to import thousands, hundreds of thousands into our nation and let them decide, we can suck on the government teat too, no one's going to stop us. And Congresswoman Ilhan Omar said, I stand by everything we've done for feeding our people. Everything you've done was defraud and scam. And part of the story across the world on some of these scams involves something called NGOs, non-government organizations. We talked about them before when all the illegals were coming across the border. I told you then, watch these NGOs that suddenly are popping up along the border to try to help the illegals coming in, and where they're getting the money, and where is it going? And in fact, the nation of Hungary is now banning NGOs. They claim they are basically criminal enterprises.
European leaders in favor of a restrictive migration policy are gathering in Budapest today for a meeting of minds. It follows yesterday's vote in Hungary to stop Soros. That's a series of laws that criminalize any individual or group who help asylum seekers, including NGOs. Well, the move defies the EU and human rights groups. Amongst those at the meeting will be Austrian Chancellor Sebastian Kurz, an immigration hardliner, as well as Hungarian leader Viktor Orban. And MPs also pass an amendments saying, and quote, alien population cannot settle in Hungary, outlawing EU attempts to relocate asylum seekers from Italy and Greece.
Alien population cannot settle in Hungary, and they're criminalizing the NGOs. You heard that report point out that they call it the Stop Soros Law. I'll get into that in more detail in a moment, but just in case you're not aware of exactly what the NGO is, you and I could get together and put our paper in our head, a paper we put with our names at the top saying we're in charge of this foundation to feed everyone that comes into the country. We're an NGO. We look for federal money to come help us do that. And then we steal it. Stephen Miller of the White House said, this is how NGOs actually work.
President Trump has blown the lid off of the refugee industrial complex. And the way this works, the U.S. government historically, and this, of course, got taken to the highest degree ever under Biden, hands out billions, with a B, billions of dollars in grants to these third-party groups, non-governmental organizations, to work with the Department of State to find the poorest populations from the most dysfunctional places in the world and then bring them into small-town America. They typically look for areas in rural communities, rural places, or more traditional Midwestern towns that they can completely transform. Mm-hmm. So they send them to small towns in Ohio, to small towns in Maine. And of course, we've seen their central project has been in Minneapolis and St. Paul in the Twin Cities in Minnesota. And so these nonprofits get massively rich. They rake in a fortune. They become some of the wealthiest nonprofits the world has ever seen.
And our government was just continuing to feed them under the Biden administration. And they started back long before Biden. And they were in effect even during the Trump first presidency, but we didn't have a hold on it. And now we're seeing just how, looking at the underbelly, just how nasty it is and how it's basically robbing American citizens on a daily basis. They come in and set up this NGO. We're going to help feed the poor. We're going to help educate the illiterate. We're going to try to set up workshops to help the people. They will do some of that, but it does not explain all the millions, billions that they get that they end up going somewhere else. And one of the places they go, as you were hearing, they were talking about in that report dealing with Hungary, saying we're going to criminalize NGOs. They named their program to stop the NGOs in Hungary, Stop Soros Law. Elon Musk was on with Joe Rogan talking about how George Soros has actively used these NGOs and he knows how to play the game.
It's kind of a hack to the system where, you know, someone can get an NGO stood up for a fairly small amount of money. Like George Soros is really good at this. Like mm-hmm. he really, George Soros is like a system hacker. Like he figured out how to hack the system. He's a genius at arbitrage. I mean, these days he's pretty old, but a genius at arbitrage. So he figured out that you could leverage a small amount of money to create a nonprofit. Then lobby the politicians to send a ton of money to that nonprofit, so you can take what might be, you know, a $10 million donation to a nonprofit to create a nonprofit and leverage that into a $1 billion NGO. A nonprofit is a weird word; it's just a non-governmental organization, and then the government continues to fund that every year, and it'll have a nice sounding name like the Institute for Peace or something like that.
Yeah,
but really, it's a graft machine.
That is exactly what it is. And George Soros, while he is getting on in age, as Elon Musk pointed out, his son is right behind him, propping up and moving forward with the open society that George Soros founded. And they're creating more NGOs, are looking for more opportunities to get into your pocket. And it ends up going to them. There will be some dollars scattered here and there, loose change that will end up helping Americans or others around the world, but most of it, their job is not to help the others, it's to help themselves. somebody comes up to you and saddles in close to you and said, brother, can you spare a dime? And while you think, well, maybe I could give them a dime. They've got their hand in your pocket. They're taking your wallet in the name of NGOs, non-government organization. It is one of the massive frauds, in addition to what we're seeing in Minnesota, is happening around the world, not just in our nation. That is why they're talking in Hungary. We're going to criminalize NGOs. We will punish anyone that tries to create an NGO. And it's under their law they call Stop Soros Law. They've clearly identified it. We have too, but we're not doing anything about it, as we should. Well, here on this program, Larry Connors, USA, we will call it out continuously. They can dress themselves up. They can look so fine, sophisticated, established, trustworthy, but they lie and they scheme and they cheat. And their whole intent is to rob you and make you suffer. And they will continue doing it. That's just one part of George Soros's machine. Then you get everything else that he continues to push, transgender and everything else. Oh, by the way, this, I'm going to get to this before we wrap up this hour. Michelle Obama has made a statement about future leaders and what we need to have. What she says about future leaders is going to be shocking and a slap in the face to currently the leftist Democrats. Michelle Obama calling them to account. She's taking a bold step. I give her credit for that. I can't wait to watch for the backlash among the lefties. What did she call for exactly? Ah, see, that's where we're teasing you. I admit. I want you to stay through the end of the program because I want you to hear exactly what she's doing and what I think about it. Don't be trying to Google it. I'll have the story for you. Also coming up, the Iranians, especially in Tehran, dying of thirst. Some of the regime leaders are defecting. What's next for Iran? They are actually dying of thirst. They're talking about moving the capital, Tehran, somewhere else because they cannot get water to the 90 million people in Tehran. 90 million! But first, talking poker with a villain I've faced before, Bad Hat Kenny Peel. I have a soft spot. A soft spot, but I really want his money. Lock and load, ready on the right.
You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
I want to tell you more about Wellington Environmental's dustless blasting services. Wellington can blast paint, grease, graffiti, even stripes off parking lots. Truly amazing and powerful. But can Wellington blast something more sensitive? Yes, Wellington can use dry ice to blast soot and odors off smoke-damaged surfaces right after a fire. Currently, Wellington uses dry ice to clean mold off wood inside a home. Why? Well, dry ice immediately disappears, turns into a vapor. That means no mess to clean up, no damaged surfaces. You need to check with Wellington, always researching and practicing with new, better, faster, safer equipment and products for you. And it's very easy to schedule an estimator for your next project. Call Cindy, 314-644-4930, 644-4930. Be well with Wellington. McGuire Moving is silver certified, which means they are great at relocating senior citizens. In fact, McGuire is a household name because McGuire understands the stress involved when moving older adults. So if you or family members need help moving, I highly recommend McGuire Moving. 314-241-0600. 241-0600. Get a free in-home estimate. McGuireMoving.com. So many times, Vincent's Jewelers has helped me surprise someone special. Vincent's locally owned can do the same for you, and you don't have to break the bank to get something really nice, maybe even customized. The smile you're going to get back from that special someone, priceless. Check Vincent'sJewelers.com every day because new items are arriving and there are special deals. Vincent's, my only jeweler. Vincent'sJewelers.com. Vincent'sJewelers.com. Back pain? Follow me to Esquire Sports Medicine, where they've got your back. Esquire is the oldest sports medicine clinic in St. Louis. Dr. Draghi and his team of chiropractors can get you back to work, back to life, without the pain. New patients usually scheduled within 24 hours. 314-644-0885. 644-0885. EsquireSportsMedicine.com.
This is News Talk STL.
When I die and the name is rest, gonna go to the place that's the best. When I lay me down to die, going up to the spirit and sky.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
Maybe about 20 years ago, I'm in a World Series poker event in Tunica, Mississippi. I'm doing pretty well. I got a good stack of chips, and a player gets moved from his table to my table. His table busted, so they put him right to my left. He comes over, he's got a black jacket on, sunglasses, and a hat that had a big band around the cap saying, "Bad hat." He's unstacking more chips than I have, putting them in play. And he looks at mine and says, "You want to give those to me now, or I'll just take them?" That was my introduction to Bad Hat Kenny Peel, a villain, and also a guy I like. Kenny Peel online. Kenny, welcome aboard.
Hey, how you doing, Larry?
Well, I'm good. How do you like my introduction for you?
Well, it was tainted in your favor, but it's okay. I remember you had more chips than me.
Well, I don't remember that. I know that you were just unstacking and unstacking. And who's this guy? But I mean, you had that hat on that said "bad hat," and I found out, and you had a little spinner with your hat on it you had in front of you using as a card protector. And that was my introduction to Kenny Peel. And Kenny Peel, in a few days, was teaching me a poker lessons that he loves jabbing me with. This was dealing with how to play ace-king. Go ahead, take a shot.
Well, I'll take a short one. Larry was in a hand with me, and we were at the final money spot in a small tournament, and I looked down at ace-queen, and I knew the only hand that was going to beat me in that setting with the cards that were out there was ace-king. A long discussion about this earlier, and I'd explain to him how I would always play ace-king, when and where. So I know that's the only hand I'm afraid of. So I look at Larry and said, "Didn't I teach you better about how to play ace-king?" And he said, "I don't have ace-king." I said, "Okay, then I'm all in."
Yeah, that's a villain in poker for you, setting you up and then in for the kill. Kenny Peel has a very interesting life. I mean, you've been a professional golfer and all the what all have you done other than try to take money at poker tables?
Well, I've done a lot. I was in the military. I've retired from law enforcement after I received an injury. And I was a professional musician, singer, and band leader, a professional golfer, songwriter, did a little television and radio ad production, and I've done some building, house building. I've done quite a few things. But yeah.
And in fact, speaking of your songwriting, you're actively doing that. You have a couple songs we want to listen to, a few clips. One of them is the Dim Staffer's Nightmare. We're going to listen to a clip of it, then I want you, we'll come back to you and you explain the storyline behind it.
Okay.
We'll vote left and you vote hold right, and we'll just see who wins this fight. We're trying hard to break this nation's heart. But here comes Donald Trump now, and he's got the skills to tear our plans apart. By God, we're scared that Donald Trump is gonna kick us in the rump.
Kenny, obviously that's a good political song. Your motivation for it, I assume, obviously, is what's happening in our nation. Your thoughts?
Absolutely. Absolutely. There's a lot of riffs going on, and I just decided to interject a little humor into it when I laid that one out.
And what are you doing with these songs? Are they available?
Yeah, actually, what happened was I lost hearing several years ago. I'm pretty much deaf now. You're coming
can
through
you
my
me?
Phone and directly.
Can you hear me? Can you hear me?
directly into hearing aids, so I can hear you, because if I didn't have these hearing aids on with this phone, I wouldn't be hearing you. And what that does is that keeps me from hearing my own voice, so I can't sing anymore.
I know how bad that is.
So I started writing music again because I could use AI assistance in the production of the songs to put voiceovers on it. So I did that, and I've just been writing, you know, 2 and 3 songs a week now. I just love writing music, and I've been doing it a lot lately. And they are available through a distribution house that has listed me with Spotify and YouTube Music and Amazon Music, iTunes.
Will they search Kenny Peel? Go ahead.
Yeah, if you search any of those sites for Kenneth R. Peel, they'll bring my name up as the artist, and you'll find all the songs I've put on there.
And Peel is P-I-E-L, correct?
P-I-E-L, Kenneth R. Peel.
Now, that one, of course, on a political level, but your love and where you often could be found is in a poker room. So you could not be writing songs without getting into something about poker. Here's an example.
Lady couldn't get me, and I gave him 3-1. Maybe not the smartest thing to do. Before I said it, I already knew. But I guess I'm just a gambling man through and through. I left that place I used to work and headed for some booze. 'Cause in that bar there's poker now, and I rarely ever lose. The cops, they caught me driving drunk when the poker game was done.
Now, I have to ask you, Kenny, how much of this song is based on real life experiences?
Absolutely none of it.
I've never had a DUI
anyway.
But
yeah, I've probably gambled too much in my time. But as for writing those kind of songs, I write about what I do.
Right.
So I started writing about the military when I was in the military. I wrote a whole series of law enforcement songs in law enforcement. I've written about singing in a band. I've written a book about being a band leader. I've written songs about golfing. I've written songs about playing professional poker. Whatever interests me at the time is what I write music about.
Now, looking at the poker scene nowadays, how do you see it's changed in just the last 20 years?
Well, I see the change has occurred continuously in the last 20 years. It's gone away from the old established poker players that were dominating the brick-and-mortar poker rooms, and it's been overcome by the young kids that have taken over because they had their online poker sites shut down. So they were making tons of money there, and they were doing real well, but they brought their same fire-from-the-hip attitude into the poker rooms, and it kind of changed the luck-to-skill ratio.
Now, luck is obviously a part of poker, but it's a matter of dealing with the cards you're given and dealing with the player at the table.
Exactly. Exactly. And that's what changed. It used to be the professional poker players had a real edge because they had the experience, and they could maneuver through those areas where they were playing with lesser experienced players. And what happened was the lesser experienced players started showing up with tons of money in their pocket, and they could just keep buying back into the tournament.
Right.
So They didn't have to have any skill to play. They just had to have a lot of money. And they did it, and they did it very well. And they pretty much chased the old established poker players out of the room.
And how big of a deal is it to get a read on another player?
It's really important because you might make a big decision 4 or 5 hours into the game after you've detected something in the person that would tip the kind of hand he has. And if you save that information until when you need it, then it can play a big part about whether you cash or not.
And more women are entering the poker arena.
That's true. I've never seen a great difference between men and women poker players other than their personas are a little bit more sedate at the table. They're not nearly as aggressive as you are.
When you say you, are you talking about the general you, or are you talking about me in particular?
Yeah, no, I meant you.
No,
I meant you personally.
Well, now, you know I never bluff. I might misread my cards if I had to show them, but I'm never bluffing, Kenny. You know that.
Hello? Well, I know you told me the truth when you said you didn't have ace king.
Yeah, I did, and I stepped right into your little snare. I will always.
That was 20 years ago. I probably still have some of that money.
Yeah. I appreciate that, Kenny. I really do. I'm really happy to hear how things are going for you with your music and everything. So once again, this is two of the songs we played. You're writing continuously, releasing more, and again, where can they pick up some of these songs and how do they hear them?
If they go to Spotify, they can actually pick up Spotify music for free. Just look under artist Kenneth R. Peel, P-I-E-L, and my songs will appear there.
Well, I wish you great luck as you move forward, not only with the songs, but future poker games. And I also wish you...
Well, I hope to see you in a future poker game real soon, Larry.
Well, I look forward to that, Kenny. Kenny,
okay, buddy.
Kenny Bad Hat Peel, have a blessed Christmas, sir.
You too, my friend. Bye-bye.
You bet. Yeah, I call him a villain, but he's a good guy. But if you're trying to take money from him, you have to realize that's why the bad hat is there. Hope you enjoyed that little segment. Coming up, back to more serious issues, that is the Iranian regime beginning to break apart and what happens next. And I told you about former First Lady Michelle Obama says what we need to do is change of leadership. This is basically a slap in the face of the leftist feminist. What did she say exactly? That's still to come.
At Larry Connors, USA.
We welcome Tom Shaw Realtors, selling, buying, leasing property all over Missouri, almost 100 years. Call Tom, 314-283-5064, shawrealtors.com. Renewal by Anderson asking, are you still battling cold drafts, windows icing up again, utility costs surging, you're worried about paying more every month? The truth is, you may already be paying for new windows and money lost to energy escaping your home. And here's the thing, you don't want to do this project twice. Renewal by Anderson spends every day replacing bad technology, poor installation of windows and doors that simply don't stand the test of time. But you can afford the best, America's most trusted window replacement company, Anderson. Call 877-WINDOWS or visit rbastl.com. Learn about our December savings event right now. 877-WINDOWS, rbastl.com. Renewal by Anderson. Superior products, exceptional service. I just checked the events planned at Lit Cigar Lounge, so I'm planning a lot of time there. Top-of-the-line cigars, premium whiskey. Check out litstl.com and join me. Hey, and if we get hungry, Napoli Brothers Pizza and Pasta, just a few doors down. We can order from the menu, be at our table within minutes. Napoli Brothers Pizza and Pasta in Chesterfield Valley and Lit Cigar Lounge, litstl.com.
This is News Talk STL.
Oh, Susie Q. Oh, Susie Q. Oh, Susie Q, baby, I love you. Susie Q. Like the way you walk.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
There's been many defections from the Iranian military's officers, various police. They've come out publicly in the underground metro, and they've unveiled Iran's traditional lion and sun flag, proclaiming their allegiance to the people, defecting essentially from the regime. And those two officials have been arrested by the regime. But subsequent to that, we're seeing a number of military and police officials that are posting defection notices on social media.
Would you dare do that if you were in Iran, post a defection notice on your social media? A couple of those, as he pointed out, that journalist talking about Iran and what's happening, they were identified and they disappeared, and possibly their families. You're going against the mullahs of Iran, the dictatorship, and they will come for you and your family. But the situation has gotten to the point in Iran where more and more Iranians are looking for a way to improve their lot in life, and the leadership, the dictatorship, is not working to help them. They don't care about them. And I'll give you a perfect example in a moment. Mike Pompeo, former Secretary of State and CIA director, wrote a piece talking about the Iranian regime is in dire straits. The domestic situation is bleak, chronic economic mismanagement, corruption, international isolation. The country is in shambles. They don't have popular legitimacy and unable to deliver food for the people. The regime's only remaining instrument of control is rule by fear, and that they do. And one of the things that they have pointed out, or Pompeo is also noting, the country is running out of water, running out of water. They don't have to do that. They have options. They could have been doing it for decades, but they just ignored. They ignored their people because they wanted to spend the money on building nuclear weapons. Once again, that journalist on what's happening in Iran referenced the water situation.
26 years of neglect and just incompetence. The regime has left the majority of the country, especially the capital of Tehran, without water. The aquifers are basically empty. They haven't invested in any of the water infrastructure. There's been no effort to recycle, reclaim any kind of water. Just they've let the whole system deteriorate for the last 26 years. And the population in Iran nearly 50 years ago was 30 million. Today it's 90 million. Mm. And not a penny has been invested in water and water infrastructure. And there have been many, many years of drought. And now it's gotten to the point where people don't have water. And the regime's president came out recently and said, well, if this continues, we're going to have to evacuate the capital city of Tehran. What kind of government says that?
Someone who doesn't care about the people. They would have already been taking care of it, and they would be working on it now, but they're not. What monies they have are going for building a nuclear arsenal the best they can to kill the little Satan that would be Israel, and the big Satan, the USA. And while they're pushing against Israel and the rest of us, wanting to destroy us, from Israel comes Prime Minister Netanyahu saying, I know you're suffering under this regime, and here's my hand to help you on one of the pressing needs right now.
To live like this is not fair to you. It's not fair to your children. But I have very good news. Israel is the number one recycler of water in the world. We recycle 90% of our wastewater, and we lead the world in desalination. We know exactly what to do, so Iran can also have plentiful water. Almost a decade ago, I opened a Telegram channel in Farsi to teach water management to Iranians. 100,000 Iranians joined almost instantly. The thirst for water in Iran is only matched by the thirst for freedom. So here's the great news. The moment your country is free, Israel's top water experts will flood into every Iranian city, bringing cutting-edge technology and know-how. We will help Iran recycle water. We'll help Iran desalinate water.
If you and your family are literally dying of thirst or on the edge of it, and your enemy that the government wants you to kill is offering a hand to help come in and give you a new life, this is adding to the defections inside Iran, adding to the populace saying, why do we continue to live under these leaders that don't care about us anyway? Mike Pompeo on the PC Road, again, Mike Pompeo, former CIA chief and also Secretary of State, said Iran's dictatorship shows the classic signs of fatigue that portend the end stages of a regime: economic exhaustion, internal fragmentation, eroding deterrence, and a population no longer willing to live under their rule. He also adds, the task for U.S. policymakers is not to predict the exact moment when the Iranian regime would collapse, but to shape the environment so that when it does fall, the outcome is stability rather than chaos. That will be a delicate balancing act when it does happen. And with things going on like they are right now, I think it could be sooner than later. You know about the shooting at Brown University and the MIT professor. The suspect was tracked down. Police say he committed suicide. Now, I have some questions about that. He's a Portuguese national who was here on a study visa. He did know the MIT professor at one point. They had apparently studied and worked together. The MIT professor was working on nuclear devices, things of that nature. And the question has come out of Israel, are there any Iranian connections to the killer of that MIT professor and the students at Brown University? In other words, was this a terrorist hit job ordered by Iran, and they use this guy to carry it out? He's in the country? Why not? Now, is that a stretch too far for some of you to accept? I don't think so. Thank you, Joe Biden, for opening the border for all these others to come in. This guy came in previous to that and came in under a visa grant. Secretary of Homeland Security Kristi Noem says, we're going to cancel all those going forward. We want to have a better look and a vetting process of anyone coming in. But I think it's very possible there could be an Iranian terrorist action carried out by the Portuguese national in shooting up and killing two students at Brown University and wounding others, and then assassinating the MIT professor. And I have a very big question about police saying they found the guy dead in a warehouse, dead by his own hand. I'd like to know how much evidence they had to show it was a suicide, and that Iran, if they were behind it, did not have someone else make sure he would not be around to talk. Do you think I'm pushing conspiracy theories? They are a theory and conspiracy theory until they're proven fact. And I say we need more answers. Well, I want to leave you with a laugh, several laughs, actually. AOC was asked recently, how do you think you would do in a heads-up match against Vice President Vance in the next presidential election? Get the laugh track ready.
Reaction, or do you think that you'll beat, that you could beat J.D. Vance in a head-to-head race for president, as polling suggests, in 2028?
Listen, these polls, like 3 years out, are, you know, they are what they are, but let the record show, I would stomp him.
Thank you, Congresswoman.
You would stomp J.D. Vance? I'd put money on that right now, and I think I could get my guest earlier, Kenny Peel, to join me. We'd put double money on it. There is a survey out that shows in a hypothetical 2028 presidential race, AOC would beat Vance nationally by 2 points, 51-49%. That's very close. Anything could happen at that point. But this is an argument Verisite survey. I have no idea what this group is. The far-left Newsweek magazine reported it. I assume they commissioned it. And they say the New York Democrat Congresswoman, AOC, would edge out the likely Republican nominee 51%-49%. And they did note, this is key, the result of 2%, that is within the poll's 2.7% margin of error, which means they're statistically tied. It shows in the poll that Vance leads with white voters. Here we go again. Play the race card. That's like Trump was only acceptable to whites. Why did he have so many blacks and Latinos and other ethnicities jump on board to back him? They want to play that game on out. AOC, according to this, would win 79% of the black voters, 64% of Hispanics. And women would go with AOC at 56%. But can she win the Democrat presidential primary? And there are reports, stand back for this one, that loser Kamala Harris looking to run again in 2028, a recent poll showing her as a Democrat favorite against all comers. That includes Gavin Newsom. Are you listening? Well, it's all talk right now. We don't really know, do we? They will play the game out, and we need to be aware of it. But we also need to keep in mind what's at stake. This is not just political noise. This is a protection of our nation. And a jury in Milwaukee County found that Judge Dugan guilty of obstructing federal immigration agents. Back in April, remember, she had an illegal inside her courtroom awaiting some charges, and she heard ICE was in the courthouse, so she got him out the back door of the courthouse. Made him, give him a good reason and excuse to get away and an opportunity. Well, she was convicted of doing that, interfering with law enforcement. The jury reached the verdict 6 hours after deliberations. They did acquit her on a misdemeanor count of concealing an individual to prevent arrest. I don't know how they could acquit on that and yet find her on the other, but that's good. That's good either way. She's losing her judgeship. She will lose her law license, and she could face 5 years in prison because she decided, I'm a judge, and I can protect this illegal and get him out of here. And she did. She wanted this guy in our nation. These sanctuary politicians do have blood on their hands in many cases. In Northern Virginia, an illegal immigrant with a leaking criminal history got released by police and killed a man in his home a day later. This was a 23-year-old illegal immigrant from El Salvador. Had been in custody on malicious wounding, brandishing firearms. Police released him after the prosecutor dropped the charges. Now, I don't know the background on that, but again, we're talking about a part of the Blue Nation. And they drop the charges, so then he goes out and kills someone else, according to the allegations. But in my view, that does qualify as blood is on your hands. You made it possible. I told you earlier that Michelle Obama, well, before I do that, Mondani has a problem. He had a clerk that he had nominated to be a position, a senior appointment to his new service as mayor-elect. Video surfaced showing her mocking Jews and attacking law enforcement. So just a day after she was appointed, one of the social media things said, calling people money-hungry Jews and the Jew train. She's having to step aside. Yeah, she should. But that's the kind of leadership you're going to have under Mondani. He'll find another one. There just won't be enough material to destroy them. And to Michelle Obama, she was doing an interview with MSN Now, dealing with her new book called The Look. And she said, we have to pick leaders that do not rob women of their femininity. That's part of the, she writes in her book. She said, we need leaders who will not go out there and go to rob women of their femininity. She got cheers from the audience. She said, the question we have to ask ourselves, why are we okay allowing this? And was women and black women the men were with? There needs to be established conversation. But she says it starts with leaders we elect that are not robbing women of their femininity. Wow. That's a slap across the face of all these leftists out there and pushing transgender and destroying women. Michelle Obama says, you're not the leader we need. I would agree with Michelle. I thought I would never say that, but I do. I hope you have a great weekend. We'll be back in Monday. Class will be in session at 6 p.m. In the meantime, remember our pledge, one nation under God.
You can follow Larry on Larry Connors USA Facebook. Larry Connors USA Facebook. This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.